These past couple weeks have been quite an eye-opening thing for me as far as the text that we're talking about in Revelation. Of course, we're talking about what the world is coming to. And last week we talked about the fact that the world is coming to judgment, that someday the whole world will be judged. As I got to thinking about this a little bit and God's timing and how God gives us these moments and speaks to us in our lives every day, if we just open our ears and hear those little soft, still voices in our ears, we have a greater understanding of God's presence and His will for us in our lives. As I met one day with Joni Taylor when she was in the gatehouse, never before had I met anyone who told me their favorite book of the Bible was Revelation. And as at that point Joni was feeling very well, we read from Revelation chapter 21 where John describes the holy city, the New Jerusalem, and the hope for all those whose names are written in the book of life to be there someday. And we discussed how that was her hope even when she was feeling good, even when she was feeling bad. That was her hope. She knew she was going to be there someday because the Bible told her so. God in His Word told her she would be there. And it gave her a sense of peace about life and about death. Just this past weekend, there was a disturbing article in the Williamsport Sun-Gazette in which the author writes, "I'm familiar with the Bible, but I never argue with passages from it because I don't consider it the end-all and be-all of revelation. I look within my heart and within my life for clues to the nature of God. For clues to the nature of God. I look within my heart and within my life. I have issues with the teaching of the church on hell. I don't believe in it. There's no conceivable situation that would make me ever give up on my children and condemn them to eternal punishment. If my love can be that forgiving, my God's love must be even more so." You see, the problem was when this author's parents and husband died, there was no way she could accept the permanence of death. And the problem was her issues with the Bible. Big difference in two people believing God's Word and not truly trusting God's Word, and how we live our lives and how we view death and eternity. We have a loving God, yes. We have a just God who has laws. We have a God who throughout the Bible allows His people to go into captivity, allows destruction on His people who rebel against Him and reject Him. And we see that more and more as we study this book of Revelation. We start to understand the truth in God's Word of what the world is coming to. And that is a judgment and a final separation. First of all, I want you to understand that there is a concept out there that hell is being eternally separated from God. That is so untrue when you talk about the biblical text. Jesus taught more on hell than He did on heaven. And what He taught was hell is a place, an existence in a place that will not be very pleasant. And it will all boil down to records that are kept. I remember a few years ago when I was attending Lock Haven University, in world history, we had a project that we took the immigration records of Du Bois, Pennsylvania, very, very old records from the courthouse. And, of course, the writing was a lot different than we're used to today. It was very unclear. And we had to take these immigration records of those who had lived and died and their journey into that area of Du Bois. And we had to clarify the names and the spellings and the ages of the children and the parents and the addresses where they moved to. We had to clarify it and redo them so that it would be more clear from here on out, the immigration records. And there were those records of those who had lived and died and their journey kept in an archives so that future generations can refer back to them. In the same way, we read last week from Revelation that when the judgment comes, there are going to be books that are opened. And there's going to be one special book called the Book of Life. And what's going to happen, there's going to be a separation when those whose names are not written in the Book of Life are going to be cast into this fiery lake of sulfur. Not annihilated, but cast there where they will suffer forever and ever. It's a time of separation of the goats from the sheep, as Jesus referred to in Matthew. And we find four things in Revelation that will happen when this takes place. We find, first of all, that documentation is kept. We find that a separation takes place, that there are two groups based on names in these documents. We find that a new creation comes into existence, a beautiful place for one particular group, and we find an occupation occurs that only those in this one particular group will occupy that city. Throughout the Old Testament, in books like Isaiah and Ezekiel, there are all kinds of prophecies of God creating a new earth and a new Jerusalem, and that God Himself would come and dwell with humanity there. In Revelation, John is saying, I've seen this earth. I've seen the city. God dwelling with mankind there, and it's beautiful. But not everyone will be there. Only those who have their names recorded in this one book will be in the city. When we start to talk about the Book of Life, first of all, what is it? What is the Book of Life? Well, it's first referred to in Exodus chapter 32, when Moses, speaking to God, says, "Now please forgive the people's sin, but if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." The Lord replied to Moses. Now I want you to listen to this. The Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book." Secondly, the psalmist in Psalm 69, when David writes, talking about his enemies, "May they be blotted out of the book of life and not listed with the righteous." Gives us the understanding that only the righteous are listed in the book of life, and starts to focus our minds and hone us in on who's in this book of life. Only the righteous. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes to the believers in Philippi. He says, "I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Implying, what Paul is implying is that those whose names are written in the book of life are workers for the cause of the gospel. In Revelation chapter 3, we first start to get a sense of this. We see Jesus' words to John, where Jesus is referring to those who have not soiled their clothes, those who have overcome the world, those who will be dressed in white, and those who will be acknowledged before God. To the church in Sardis, "You have a few people who have not soiled their clothes." That's symbolic language for those who have not sinned against you. "They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white, in purity, in our new heavenly clothes. I'll never blot out his name from the book of life, but I will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." In Revelation chapter 13, concerning those who worship the beast, John says, "They will not be written in the book of life." In the end times, those who fall back and worship the beast will not be in this book. In Revelation chapter 20, last week, we talked about those who are in this book will not be thrown into the lake of fire. And today, in Revelation 21, we find that it indicates the overcomers will inherit the beautiful city of God, and those overcomers are only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This Book of Life, Revelation shows us, belongs to the Lamb. belongs to the Lamb. John the Baptist, when Jesus came along where he was baptized, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God. This book of life is the book that belongs to Jesus Christ. It's His book. It has names of His sheep in it. It's His book of ownership. It's His archives of those who have immigrated from one side to the other." Now our goal, we have to understand, is not to get to heaven so that we can just sit back and enjoy life. If that's your goal, then you are following Christ for the wrong reason. That is not our goal. That is self-centered. That is all about us. And getting to heaven is not about us. It's all about the glory of God. Our ultimate goal was, and for the Jew, and is for us today, to be in the presence of God for eternity, because what better life could there be than to be in God's presence for all eternity? Our provider, our creator, one who promises there will be no more tears, no more sadness, no more hunger, nothing. But some have a problem with this. That's not their goal. Consequently, they won't be in the city. One does not have a choice. It's either pass or fail. We don't get into the eternal city with a B or a C or a D or a 1 or a 2 or a 3 like the kids have on the report cards today. We're either pass or fail. The books are open. It either says pass or fail. Now, I hope many of you are wondering how to have your name written by God Himself in this book of life. Remember, we talked last week that these other books, the things that are written in these other books, are written by us. But the book of life is written by the hand of God Himself. And the answer to getting our names written in this book is to become an overcomer. An overcomer. That's my whole purpose for standing up here on Sunday morning and preaching from God's Word every single Sunday, is so that we can be overcomers. Who is an overcomer? Someone who is born of God, someone who is born again. John says in 1 John 5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What John is saying is what he said in his gospel. To those who believed in Him, to those who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of a man's own will, but of God's will. Born again, a new creation, as the Bible tells us. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Through faith in Jesus Christ and accepting Him as our Lord and Savior, overcoming the teachings and the ways of our world contrary to the gospel. We overcome the world, we overcome sin, we overcome death and the grave. And John says, who is the one that overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God will be in the New Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. To him that overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. In chapter 2:11, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Look at here, at those that are cast into the fiery lake. That's the second death. To him who overcomes will not be cast into the lake of fire. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. To him that overcomes, I'll give some of the manna. I'll give him a white stone and a new name. He who overcomes, who keeps my deeds until the end, I'll give him authority over the nations. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, remember, symbolizing purity. I'll not erase his name from the book of life. I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is Jesus speaking. In Revelation 3, he who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. In Revelation 3:21, he who overcomes, I'll grant him to sit down with me on my throne. Think about that. Sitting with Jesus Christ on his throne. That's no laughing matter. That's no little thing. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, it tells us today. God Himself, speaking from the throne to John, as John sees this vision, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Beautiful is the city. He goes on to describe it later in a little bit in this chapter, in a few verses. But the city, beautifully dressed for her husband. And he heard the loud voice, the dwelling of God is with men, and he'll live with them, and they'll be his people. He'll wipe every tear from their eye. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I'll be his God, he'll be my son. Now you have to understand, God isn't talking here male and female. He's talking in terms of the son. And the Old Testament law inherited all that was the Father's. And he's talking as a people. As a people, overcomers will be like sons to inherit what is God's. But the cowardly, those speaking of those who are afraid to accept the gospel, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the vile who are morally evil, those who practice magic arts, Harry Potter's, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Black and white. The problem is, do we have an issue with the Bible or not? There's no problem there at all in translation. When the books are open, there will be a separation. Unbelievers and rebellers will go one place, as it told us last week. And overcomers and believers will go another. There will be a new creation, a new relation. God will be present there. We'll live forever ever, and ever in His presence. It won't be like God's out there somewhere unseen. He'll be right there. We'll see His glory every day. There won't be any need for the sun or the moon, because God's glory will be the light of the city. A new relationship in this new creation. A lot of people say, I'm going to be in heaven for eternity. I tell them, well, have a good time there, because I'm going to be in the New Jerusalem. I'm going to be in the city, dancing up and down the streets, praising my Savior all the day long. Because when this New Jerusalem comes down, all those that have already died and are with God, all of those that have been resurrected will enter into this New Jerusalem, this holy city that God has prepared, and God will live with His people, and there are people He will not let in. It's that simple. But there will be a pure occupation. Those who have overcome by faith in Jesus Christ will occupy the city. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only the pure whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, Adam, how do I get my name there? You become an overcomer. You repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You accept Jesus Christ by faith as Lord and Savior. My question to you, is your name in this book already? If it's not, we need to talk. But know that it is. The gospel tells us, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Will not perish. John also writes, I write this so that you may know that you have life. And John makes it clear in his writing, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. That's, again, as clear can be. There's no gray in that at all. say, what must I do? That was the question the jailer asked. Remember when the gates swung open? When the angel came in, what must I do? Repent and believe. Repent and believe. You want to be an overcomer. You want to have your name written in that book. You want to know for sure that that place there that's described in Revelation 21 is where you're going to spend eternity. Repent and believe. Overcome the ways of the world, the teachings of the world that tell you there are many paths, there are many ways to get there. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that gate that he talks about that's narrow is the width of one man, and that man's name is Jesus Christ. And single file, we go through that gate as we believe in Jesus Christ, knowing that we will not be hurt by the second death, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, written by the hand of God, and that we'll spend eternity inheriting this great joy and beautiful city, and God will be with us for all eternity. As much as last week might have scared you some, I hope today gives you hope and peace. Because we have God's Word to John. We have it before us in black and white. It's not a matter of translating it one way or another. We have to believe it because it's God's Word. And Jesus said, God's Word is truth. May we grasp this as truth. May we cling to it as truth. May it be our hope day in and day out. As contrary to all the articles you're going to read, it is the end all and be all of Revelation. Let's pray. God our Father, I pray this morning that if there's anyone here who's not sure they're going to be with you forever in this holy city, that you stir their hearts to move, to speak up, to come forward, whether it be now or later, that they not wait, God, another day, but that they do it today, that today's the day of salvation because your word is truth to us today. No matter how much the world's telling us otherwise, may we build our strong foundation on your word. And may we know with certainty that if we have the Son, we have life. If we don't, we don't have life. And may that be our hope this coming week and all of our lives as we look forward to the new heavenly city, the beautiful city of God. In Christ's name. Let's close this morning by standing together and singing 723.